And if I have to croak out and quit, I hope you'll understand. If I get to coughing or croaking and can't, I certainly hope you'll understand, but I'm going to do the best I can. I've been praying back here and asking the Lord to help my voice. And all it is a little touch of cold and drainage and so forth. And I'll get over it by and by when the Lord's time rolls around. And I certainly hope He don't make me go through 3 days of marathon like this. Amen. Going into a marathon on top of this already, Brother Hall, on Sunday morning, I may sound like a mouse up here squeaking. But I'm going to try to preach what God, I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. And I'll just read my text and tell you Psalm 63 this evening, please. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 63, 11 verses. We'll read all 11 verses tonight and try to bring the thought that the Lord, I feel like, would have us to bring to you tonight. Psalm 63 and verse number 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Amen. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Amen. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Amen. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Amen. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. Thy noise, but those that seek my soul to destroy it, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Amen. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Amen. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Pray for Brother Hall tonight, and we'll try to whisper this out. And if I can, I'll just get through it the best I can. And you pray for me. All right, our Father, I'm thankful tonight for the privilege we have to be in the house of God one more time. I thank You for Your divine presence and the grace You've already given. I thank You for Calvary's love, the redemption that we have in Christ. Thank You for the precious blood that You shed for our sins. Thank You for laying Your life down that we might have life. Thank You, Lord, for the morning hour, but it's past and beyond us now. We've come to another time, another people, another need. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, tonight as we do our best to preach the Word of God. I pray You'll restore my voice sufficiently to preach tonight and make me a blessing to Thy people. I pray You'll give me the power and the unction, the liberty that's needed tonight to preach the gospel, to preach, Lord, the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept, that Thy people might find help in the Lord. Create a hunger and a thirst within us, I pray, that we might seek after God. Bless us now as only God can. Again, I pray for the power of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, for help in the people, salvation of sinners. There's those here tonight without God that need saved. I pray, Lord, you'd work on their heart and open up their understanding that they might come to Christ and know You in the free pardon of sin. Revive and strengthen the faith of the people of God. Bless every home and family and every heart that's represented here tonight. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. I preached to you Wednesday night out of Psalm 42 on a panting heart. Amen. Where David said there, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. And then this morning I preached out of the book of Matthew 5 and verse 6, where the Lord himself said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I'm preaching these days along that line, trust in the Lord to take his word and to create in all of us a desire that we might seek after him. Amen. And I'll assure you, if we'll seek after him, we will find him. Amen. And so as we come to this passage tonight where David said, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is." And I want to preach out and take that verse as our text tonight and preach out of several of these verses, Lord helping me, and simply preach on the thought, lessons from the wilderness. Some lessons that we can learn while we're in the wilderness wandering. I'm sure if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been there, and some of you may be there now. Because everybody that comes out of Egypt has got to cross the wilderness. It may not take you 40 years as it did the nation of Israel because of their rebellion, but I'll assure you, everybody has got to cross that wilderness in order to reach the land of Canaan. And let me say right here that God's intent for Israel was the land of Canaan all the time. He had a land that flowed with milk and honey. And that was his desire for his people, that they might inherit that land and that God might bless them there. And unfortunately, it took them 40 years to get there, but it doesn't necessarily mean it'll take you and I that long to arrive at that Spirit-filled life. That's exactly what Canaan is. It is a type of the Spirit-filled life. And God wants you to be filled with the Spirit, to be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I would encourage you to seek after the Lord. You'll never, ever, ever be filled with the Holy Ghost till you're emptied of yourself. And I've learned a long time ago that praying will empty you of yourself. And whatever, and by the way, God will never take anything away from you that he doesn't give you something better in his place. And God only knows, when I got saved, there was enough bad in me that God had to take away from me before God could fill me with the Spirit of the Lord. I've never forgotten that wonderful night at the Greer Camp Meeting in 1984. The first time I was ever filled with the Holy Ghost. I buried my face in those shavings, and it was there in Greer, South Carolina, that God first filled me with the Holy Ghost. May I say there's only one baptism, but there are many fillings. That night I was baptized, and you call it whatever you want, but I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and no, I didn't speak in no tongues. When I got off my knees, I was still talking English language. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. But I was baptized with the Spirit of God. But I have been filled many times since then. The Lord told his disciples in the book of Acts chapter number 1. He said, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And it said in chapter number 2 that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It said again in chapter 4 that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It said about Peter and John that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's one baptism, but there's many fillings. And it's something to be desired. And it's something to hunger after. It's something to thirst after. But I will say this, that probably you're going to have to go through that wilderness experience in order to enjoy the blessings of that Canaan life. Now, let me say a couple of things about the psalm. This psalm was probably written while David was fleeing from Absalom. You can read that account in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, how Absalom rebelled against his own father and against his authority. And David began to flee from Absalom up the hills, up Mount Moriah, and out into the wilderness. And it was there in the wilderness that David penned these words. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I marvel at the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one thing to be able to sing the praises of God while you're in the sanctuary. It's one thing to be able to sing the praises of God here in the house of God. It's another thing to be able to praise God when everything is going well in your life. But we find David here not only singing praises unto the Lord, but David wrote this psalm while he was in the wilderness. That was the perfect will of God. And good things can come out of what appears to be bad things. And here was a blessing that came out of what David thought was a bad thing. But I'm telling you, we serve a God tonight that can take bad things and turn them into good things and bring them to where they'll be for our good and for the glory of God in the final analysis. And so David is there. I know this is during a time that David was king, for it said in verse number 11, it tells us that, but the king shall rejoice in God. Amen. He said, in fact, David is saying, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm going to rejoice in God. And that ought to be the desire of our, you know why I could say that? Because he thirsted after God. Here he is in a dry and a thirsty land. He is in a barren land where no water is. That is spiritual water. We could just about apply that to the hour that we're living in. I'm telling you, we're living in dry days in the house of God. Oh, how long for God to open up the windows of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and rain upon His people. Both the early and the latter rain. I'm telling you, we need, and we're in the right place in the right time for the latter rain of God. Amen. That's right. Thank God. But we're living in some dry time. There's not many people getting saved. There's not many people. Hey, when you can't get the church to testify, you're living in dry times. When you can't get saved people on their feet enough to thank God for delivering them from their sin, we're living in dry times. I begin to wonder if some folks got anything to testify about. Amen. But I've got, hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I've got something to say, thank God. I once was a sinner, but now I've been saved by the grace of God. I was in sin, but now I'm out. I was lost, but I'm found. I was in darkness, but I'm in light. I was in the dirt, but I've been made clean by the blood of the Lamb, thank God. I've got a whole lot to testify about. Amen. God, give me 3 fine children, 15 grandchildren, and a 10-pound-plus baby boy, great-grandboy laying over there. I said, Brother Delta, how much old Logan weigh now? She said, over 10 pounds. I said, great shot. They talking about that boy being little. He ain't little. He's almost big as his great-grandpa. Son, he must like that milk, buddy. Amen. That boy's growing. Thank God. Now, listen very carefully. David did not leave off singing while he was in the wilderness. And neither did he sing songs that were intended for other occasions. I've already mentioned that briefly. It's one thing to come into the house of God and to sing, I've been redeemed. But here's David singing a song about being in a thirsty land. About dwelling in the wilderness. About being in the desert. Here's David and writing a song about that and singing about that. And by the way, he found great joy in doing that. May I say to you, if you keep the right attitude and the right spirit in your life, you'll find that you can rejoice, you can thank God and praise God for wherever you are in your life and whatever He's doing in your life, you can thank Him for it. If your heart's right with God, for in everything, give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why I had to thank Him for this flu I got or whatever it is. He knows what's best. He may want Brother Steve to do the whole marathon by himself. You never know what God's doing. Now listen carefully. There may have been a desert around David, but there wasn't any desert in David. Now you get a hold of that. There may have been a desert around David, but there was no desert in David. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that there's no reason for us to live like sad sack all the time. There's no reason to leave here tonight with carpet burns on our lower lips. Praise God. Times may be hard. Amen. We may be in the desert. There may not be much water of the Word of God coming into our heart to bless us. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that our names are written in heaven ought to be enough to cause us to rejoice about what God's done for us. Amen. His disciples came back to him and said, Lord, said my, said even the spirits, the devils were subject unto us. He said, I don't rejoice about that. He said, I'll tell you what to rejoice about. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And he didn't say, rejoice because your names are written in heaven and everything's going all right. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, you can rejoice when trouble is coming your way. When trials are coming your way. When temptations are coming your way. When sorrow is coming your way. Amen. You still have something to rejoice about because you have the eternal witness of a holy God dwelling on the inside of you. Amen. Now, listen carefully. One of the key words in this psalm is early. David said there, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Now you can take that ever how you want it. You can take that early in life, or you can take that early in the daytime. I wouldn't mind applying it both ways. Because the Ecclesiastes writer said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Well, that's why I love to see these little ones up here around that jug. Little old Samuel went down to Shiloh when he was just a little boy. And I'm satisfied there in Shiloh he began to seek after God as a little boy. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Early in his life, or it could be early in the morning. I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time anymore. Amen. Within morning hours, my body's wearing out. Believe it or not, Brother Hall's body's getting tired. And I'm telling you, long days and marathons and preaching as hard as I preach and doing radio broadcasts, my body's getting tired. Amen. And that old bed feels good. Amen, amen, it really does. That bed feels good. And you're tempted just to stay there all day. Amen. But that's not good for you. Amen. We'd be better off if God made our bed hard instead of soft. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I was in there in bed the other night, and Kaylin had to sleep with Miss Hall and I. Well, I'm telling you, about 2:30 in the morning, I felt something. I'm not talking about a little peck or an occasional thump. I'm talking about a continuous kick, a barrage of feet in the back. I realized right quick, I said, Lord, I have got to get out of this bed. There comes a time when you can't stay in the bed. And you know, if we wake up earlier and we're supposed to wake up, we'll complain about it. But I'm telling you, we ought to thank God for it. He may be giving us an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to get up early, amen, and get in that Bible and seek the Lord while He may be found early in the morning. David said, early will I seek thee. Amen. Now, I want to notice some lessons, and I don't have but three of them. We won't be here that long, maybe 2 hours. I'm starting to feel better. I've done blowed the snot out of my throat. Amen. Amen. Some lessons. When you're in that wilderness and it's dry. And some of you are there right now. Amen. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are doubting some things in life. You're doubting whether the church is really going to make it. Can we go on? Can we overcome? And what I said this morning, cat got a climbing gear. Amen. Bear like honey. Amen. Has God ever left the throne? God's still on the throne. And the earth is His footstool. And as long as God is on the throne, I'll guarantee you, we can't be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror. We can be overcomers. Overcoming sin, the world, and Satan, and anything else. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. Now, some lessons that we need to learn. Look at verse 1. David said, O God, Thou art my God.
Amen.
Don't forget who God is.
Amen.
Boy, that's deep theology, isn't it? Don't forget who God is. But somebody said, well, we know God's God. That's not what David said. Pay attention to what you're reading. He didn't just say God's God. He said, O God, Thou art my God.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of gods in this world.
Amen.
David said, the great Creator,
yep,
the everlasting Father,
yep,
He that is called Wonderful, Counselor, yep, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Emmanuel, God with us, the Ancient of Days, the First and the Last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Door, the Way, the Truth, the Life. He is my God. My God. Amen. My God. And that makes Him a personal God. You know, so many people today want to look at God as if He is a corporate God. He's personal. He saved me and He saved you personally. And in spite of what we were, He loved us the way we were.
Amen.
He made you what you are. I can't get over people that want to change themselves. And I don't say this ugly, but we got white people wanting to be black people. We got black people trying to be white people. And we got folks that's not satisfied with the color of their hair. They want to make their hair a different color. They're not satisfied with how God made them. And I'm not saying they oughtn't to try to be healthy. But I'm telling you, God made you just like you are. And God saved you just like you are. On a personal basis. Don't look at Him as a corporate God. Look at Him as my God. He is my God. He might be yours, but I'm telling you, He's mine too.
Amen.
And I won't say this, praise the Lord, there's enough of Him to go around.
Amen.
He's a big enough God that He can take care of all of us.
Amen.
There's enough of God. You don't have to worry about sitting down at His table and finding a little lean place. That's God. There's enough for everybody.
Amen.
He can satisfy the thirsty. He can fill the hungry. He can save the lost. He can bless the sick. He can raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, open the eyes of the blind. Praise God. He is God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. David said, I might be out here in the wilderness. I might be in a thirsty, dry and a thirsty land where no water is. But that does not lessen God one bit. He is still my God.
Amen.
Anybody listening? He's still my God. And this David had a full assurance of faith.
Amen.
That full assurance of faith led David to seek the Lord with both diligence and desire.
Amen.
Early will I seek thee. That tells me that he was diligent. That tells me you had a desire, a longing. I've told you this, let me tell it again. There used to be a guy here that was a missionary. He's back in Brazil right now as a missionary, Brother Paul Pritchard. When Jerry Clark came here from Greenville, South Carolina, y'all was over on Princeton Pike in that big building there. Old Brother Paul Pritchard, he had a program in here on the radio station called Moments for the Master. He was a missionary to Brazil. I heard him tell the story. He said, as a young man just been called to preach, said he'd get up every morning. He was from the hills of West Virginia. And said he'd walk out that back door and head down toward them woods down below his house. And said on the way down, the tears would begin to run down his face. He'd say, Lord, here comes Paul again.
Yep.
Paul's a-coming, Lord. When was the last time you walked out your house and headed down to a log down in the woods or an old stump down in the woods or got up and went back to the back bedroom or like Brother Sammy Allen, got up and went in the bathroom? You know what he used an altar? The commode in the bathroom.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Yeah. When was the last time you said, Lord, here comes Cater.
Yeah.
Lord, here comes George. Lord, here comes Steve. Lord, here comes Brother Robert. Lord, here comes your own. Come on, are you listening to me? I'm saying there was diligence. He said, I'm getting up early. And there was a desire. He said, I will seek thee. Now, Miss Ruth didn't have no idea that she was going to do half of my message tonight. But she did. She gave me a lot of my outline for my message tonight. It's on the back of the bulletin. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him.
Amen.
If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul,
Amen.
Early will I seek thee. 1 Chronicles 16:10. Glory ye in his holy name.
Yes.
Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Yes. You know why you can't rejoice? You ain't looking for him.
Yes.
We're wrapped up in everything but him. And I'm telling you, we ought to get wrapped up in Christ.
Yes.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. He is worthy of our hours and time that we spend with him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right. And if you seek him, you can rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. I guarantee you'll bump into him.
Amen.
I've prayed a few times and found him. Boy, them old tears of joy get to rolling down your cheek. Praise God. And the next thing you know, you're off your knees and onto your feet. I believe that'll preach.
Amen.
Tears of joy down the cheek, off your knees and onto your feet.
Amen.
Get your hands up in the sky. Amen.
Amen.
Up in the air. And praise the Lamb of God that loved
Amen.
You and died for you.
Amen.
Seek him and rejoice. That bulletin goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face bi-monthly. Seek his face continually, it says. Continually. You know this, I've preached it. Seeking his, when God causes his face to shine upon us, that is a picture of God's favor and God's grace upon his people. Amen. The psalmist said, cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved.
Amen.
He wasn't talking about being saved. Talking about being saved. Saved. Talking about being delivered.
Amen.
He's already saved. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be delivered. Brother Steve stood in there the other day and said, preacher, said, I wonder, he didn't say, is God going to deliver us? He said, I wonder when God's going to deliver us.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
When is God going to cause his face to shine upon this church?
Amen.
When's God going to bless your families?
Amen.
When's God going to see your young people saved? Amen. I'll tell you when. When you set your face to seek his face, hallelujah to God. When there is a desire, when there is a hunger, when there is a thirsting after him, and not just his attributes, him.
Amen.
I've heard preachers pray, and I've done the same thing. I preach it tonight, Lord, I need your power. Well, we get him, we'll have his power.
Amen.
Lord, we need your grace. We get him, we'll have grace.
Amen.
Lord, I need your joy. Get him, you've got joy.
Amen.
It's not his attributes we need, it's him.
Yep.
It's God. Come on now.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amos 5:6, seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it at night. Now, Miss Ruth didn't have no idea she was going to be doing part of my message tonight. But that early will I seek thee. May I say that communion with God is so sweet. It's sweet. That the chill of a cold heart will soon be forgotten. The luxury of leisure time will soon be despised. The morning is a time of doing freshness. David said, and early will I seek thee.
Amen.
For the dew of heaven. For the freshness of God upon my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, does anybody have any earthly idea what I'm trying to preach on tonight? I'm talking about the moisture of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost of God upon our life. I'm talking about seeking God for a fresh heart and the dew of heaven to be round about us in our life. To moisten these old, dry, dead, last year's bird's nest spirits we got. I never seen so much dryness and deadness as there are in the churches anymore. I'm glad we don't have a program we go by either. We're going to sing this song. Brother Joe Blow's going to pray. And then we got Sister Sally Longtongue's going to come up and sing. And then I'm going to do my 5-minute message, and we're going to have a 3-second invitation. And all you sinners in here, if you don't get in them 3 seconds, you can't make it. And we're going to be here about 40 minutes and go to the house. If God can't work in them 40 minutes, He just won't work. And I'm going to tell you the fact, He ain't working. Try to put God on a clock and a time schedule, and I'm telling you, God don't work that way. The disciples tarried in God's presence. If you seek the Lord, you got to tarry there. Wait in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I'm going to tell you, if you want it, you got to tarry for it, friend. That's right. Now, he seeks God with his whole being. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth after thee. Now, what he's telling us is that his entire body and soul, his whole being, his whole being. You didn't hear me, but I was standing back there a while ago begging God. I'm going to tell you what I prayed. I don't mind telling you a bit what I prayed. I said, Lord, please help me preach tonight. I said, if you helped Brother Aubrey Brown preach when he was so sick, having a heart attack that he couldn't hardly stand up, surely you can get this flame out of my throat enough to let me preach a little while tonight.
Amen.
And he did.
Amen.
He did.
That's right. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He did, Brother Jerome. That's wonderful.
Amen.
Are y'all listening?
Right.
The remarkable thing here is, although David was weary, thirsty, uncomfortable, and deprived of past luxuries, that he still overcome the flesh.
Amen.
My flesh longeth for thee.
Amen.
Tired, weary, and worn, but he refused to give the flesh 1 inch in his life.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, when we're spiritually beaten down, it's when the tempter is going to tempt your flesh to sin against God. You just mark that down. When you begin to doubt or get discouraged, that is exactly when the devil is going to tempt your flesh to sin. Now, I want to say this to you. Your spirit cannot sin. Or somebody may think it can. But I'm telling you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm sealed into the day of redemption. And I'm telling you, that new creation in me, if it can sin, then the Armenians are right. We can lose what God's given us.
Amen.
But there is no spiritual sin in a saved person.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, we're still in this body.
That's right.
Buddy, I'm telling you, this flesh is as wicked as the devil itself.
Amen.
You better believe it can still cave into adultery.
Amen.
Fornication.
That's right.
A lot of other things.
Amen.
That I won't mention.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of sins, buddy, this flesh will cave into. And it'll always happen when you're weak and weary and tired.
Amen.
That's why you see so many people falling by the wayside today.
Amen.
They're tired. Now I'm telling you, as a preacher, buddy, we got to be like a boxer. We got to keep that guard up all the time.
Amen.
Can I say I've never been so spiritually tired as what I am right now?
Amen.
Oh, I long to see God just breathe again.
Amen.
God, just breathe on us one more time.
Amen.
Just give us a little reviving. Just give us a little bit of the dew of heaven.
Amen.
Just a little of the presence of God.
Amen.
Create a hunger and a thirst in us for Him. Now listen carefully. I'm going to say this one real quick. He is not only a personal God, He's a powerful God. He said in verse 2, to see thy power. And He is a powerful God. David knew that God was able to overcome his greatest fears.
Amen.
Here he is going up Mount Moriah, and his own son in Jerusalem has sent him to flight.
Amen.
And his greatest fear, somebody said his greatest fear is that he would die. No, it wasn't. His greatest fear was that Absalom would die. That's exactly what happened.
Amen.
David went back to the city and sat in the gate, above the gate, and wept and wept. And Joab said, if you don't stop that, said the people will despise you. But God gave him grace.
Yes.
And he was able to overcome.
Yes.
The fear that came upon him. The trouble.
Yes.
God is a powerful God. No, God is an all-powerful God that wills what He does and does what He wills, and He cannot fail. He won't fail. He can't fail.
Amen.
I've been wanting to get to this. He is a purposeful God. That's right. He's a purposeful God. I've said many times that Romans 8:28 and 29 is still in the Bible. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To them who are the called according to God's purpose. All things. Now, you tell me how, and I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I've got some other place I want to go first. How in the world can it work to David's good, his own son in rebellion, driving him from a place of worship, from his own home, from his throne, up into the wilderness? May I say that he's not the first one that's been driven in the wilderness. By the way, he's being persecuted.
Amen.
He's being driven into the wilderness. Are you all still with me, or did I lose you? He's being driven into the wilderness because he's being persecuted by his own boy. But he's not the first one that's been in the wilderness, and he won't be the last one that's been in the wilderness. But he was there for his good. And the glory of God. And you saying I'm going to show you something here. Hagar, Genesis 16:7, found herself in the wilderness. And what happened to that little girl in the wilderness? God opened up her eyes. The Bible said, and she saw a well of water. That water was always there. She just never had seen it. God had to open up her eyes. I'm telling you, there's a well of water here tonight, folks. It's overflowing. I'm telling you, it's not just full. It's overflowing. There is a well of water here tonight. And if God would ever open your eyes up to it, while you're in the wilderness, you can walk in joy and victory until God pours out His grace upon us one more time. Are you listening? I think of another individual. A guy by the name of Moses left Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian.
Amen.
And he went out into the wilderness. And in Exodus chapter number 3, the Bible said that while he stood there feeding the flock in Midian, that he looked up on the mountain and he saw a bush that was burning with fire, but it wasn't consumed.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to turn aside to see this great sight.
Amen.
Need I tell you that that bush, that little bramble bush, represents the sinner? The fire represents God. God is a consuming
Amen.
Fire. But and when God called Moses, he made every excuse in the world. I can't talk good. Now, they won't believe me. What sign can I show them? Throw that rod down. And threw that rod down and said, and become a snake. Said, take it up again. Reached down by the tail, picked her up by the tail.
Amen.
Put your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Oh, it's white as white as snow. Put it in there again. Pull it out. It was just as whole as ever.
Yeah.
You know what God's trying to tell him? God's trying to tell him that I am a consuming fire.
Amen.
And it is going to take the wilderness experience and the fire of God to consume the dross and consume the sin that is in your life to make you a profitable servant for the Lord. Oh my, we ought to get upset when the fires begin to burn. We ought to rejoice in what God is doing with us. He is preparing us for something greater on down the road.
Amen.
Amen. Let the fire burn. It's not a joyful experience. But we're nothing but a bramble bush. He could have said an oak tree, but he didn't. He said a bush, and it was
Amen.
A bramble bush. We're nothing.
Amen.
But we got the fire of God burning inside
Amen.
Us. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
Preacher free.
Amen.
Amen.
Let it consume all the sin. I preached on this morning. I want to hunger after righteousness. I want to be right.
Amen.
But it's going to take it's going to take the fire to get us right.
Amen.
I heard Brother Milby preaching one time. They said over in Ephesians 5, said the church is going to present it to him, a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle.
Amen.
And he said the only way you get a spot out, praise God, was to wash it.
Amen.
The only way you get the wrinkles out was to iron them out. And the hotter the iron, the easier they are to get out. God is ironing out the wrinkles.
Amen.
And God is washing out the spots.
Amen.
And while we're in the wilderness, God is cleansing
Amen.
Us and washing us and preparing us for something great down the road.
Amen.
I can run my head through a wall. I don't know what God's going to do with Adam Ford Baptist Church and our radio ministry.
Amen.
But I'm excited about what God's doing.
Amen.
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 When you got people all the way on the other side of the world listening to you,
Amen.
Little handful of nothings and nobodies.
Amen.
But God has graced us with that ministry.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Make a dead Presbyterian get happy. Now,
Amen.
There was another man that went into the wilderness. Man by the name of Elijah. Elijah went in the wilderness in 1 Kings 19.
Amen.
He found himself in the wilderness over Jezebel's persecution.
Amen.
But also the angel of the Lord showed up. And he was suddenly awakened. And he had bread. Coals of fire and hot bread.
Yeah.
What can be any better to a weary stranger than hot bread? Warm loaves from God's oven. That's the bread of the Word of God. What can be any better than bread and the water of the Word of God? God was trying to tell him, I am still able. Elijah, I've still got the power. I'm still able, Elijah. Y'all need to just watch me. Let Jerome do whatever he's doing, whatever it might be.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying. And then there was David. Was in the wilderness because of the persecution of Absalom. And I want you to hear me well. that God's purpose was to reveal to David in the wilderness that he might prove that he is God in every situation of life. Every situation of life, he is God. I don't care what the situation is. Now notice what he's saying. He said, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. You know what God's telling him? God said, hey, David, you can see my power and my glory in the wilderness.
Amen.
Did it not settle in on the children of Israel? Did not the Shekinah glory of God settle in on the tabernacle in the wilderness?
Yes.
You better believe it did.
Yes.
And he is telling David, you may have seen me. He may be telling some of you tonight, you've seen my power and my glory in the church when things were good. But I'm telling you, you can see it when things are bad as well. It don't get too bad for God to show up. In fact, praise God, that's God's greatest opportunity when things are bad. Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Our trouble is God's opportunity. Our calamities is God's opportunity to reveal His power and His glory to you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, point lesson number two, don't forget to praise God wherever you are. Wherever you are.
Amen.
Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Where are you praising him at, David?
Amen.
In the wilderness?
Amen.
Out here in the desert?
Amen.
That's where I'm praising him. That's right. Don't make your praises to God depend upon your personal and present reception of benefits.
Amen.
Oh, we can praise God when we're up on the mountain. Things are easy when we're up on the mountain. But I'm going to tell you, when we get down in that valley,
amen,
that's where we're really put to the test.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. The God of the mountain, He is still God in the valley.
Amen.
Thank His wonderful name. Most of us can rejoice when the bills are paid and there's money in the bank, groceries on the table, and the kids are not sick, and we ain't got the scuzzies, and we got our income tax check back, and we got wad back there on the hip. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we're happy as larks. But I got a feeling that Lazarus was rejoicing laying at the gate of the rich man. He was saved. And by the way, I believe he knew he was close to going home. Ladies and gentlemen, we're drawing nigh to the shore. The gates are about to open.
Amen.
Son of God's about to descend from heaven with a shout.
Amen.
With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God.
Yeah.
Son's going to resurrect the dead of all the ages.
Amen.
We're living in a glorious hour. Praise God, we're living in one of the greatest times a child of God can ever live.
Amen.
We act like mom-in-law moved in, they ain't moving out. I wish my mother-in-law could move in.
Amen.
I wish my mama could move in.
That's right.
But they're up there saying, son, you'll be here for long.
Amen.
It won't be long, son.
Hey.
You'll be up here with us.
Amen.
Your time will come. Your days will expire.
Amen.
Your time will run out.
Right.
He may sound a trumpet before my time runs out. But if I got to walk through the veil, I shall fear no evil.
Amen.
For thou art with me. Thank God he's got a rod and staff that comforts me. Amen. Anoints my head with oil, my cup. I'm running over right now.
Amen.
I'm drinking a little drink out of my saucer tonight.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. What a God. A true believer will bless the Lord even when He takes away our gifts or hides His face from us.
Amen.
You don't see Jacob get, I mean, Job getting too far down the drain. He couldn't find God nowhere in his life. But he never dipped his colors.
Amen.
Somebody said, why'd Job go through that wilderness so God could bless him twice over?
Amen.
Serve a great God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I want to say, and you listen carefully, all you folks. Vocal praise should be rendered to God as well as mental adoration.
Amen.
Amen.
If others see our mercies, if there's people out there that seen God be merciful to you, they should also see your thanks.
Amen.
And by the way, the last time I looked, Madam Fay, or whatever her name is up in Henderson, she can't really read your mind. She probably can't read a primer book. Is anybody listening to me? People out there can't read your mind.
Amen.
He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips,
amen.
Not mental adoration, my lips.
Amen.
The last time when I moved my lips, and listen, what are you doing, preacher? I'm praising God. Oh, I thought you were speaking in tongues. Praise Him with his lips, folks.
Amen.
He rejoiced. By the way, what's happened to some of you that used to shout and praise God?
Amen.
Shout dried up, the joy gone.
Amen.
Somebody said, but preacher, you don't know what we're going through. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. God does.
Amen.
I can't read your mind, but God can.
Amen.
God knows when you're broken. God knows when there's trouble in the camp.
Amen.
God knows when there's heartaches and trials and sorrows that He put there by sovereign design. To work out His purpose in your life, knowing that all things work together for our good. I imagine when David went up that hill with his head covered and barefooted. And by the way, back then barefooted was a shame to be barefooted.
Amen.
And there went David up on that riding that mule barefooted, that little mule plugging along. And David weeping, and his head covered. Wondering, what have I done? Why is God doing this to me? Some of you are wondering that yourself. What have I done to make all these things come upon me? Job didn't understand.
Amen.
Why all those things come upon him. But he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And you praise Him tonight for where you're at? And you thank Him.
Amen.
For where you're at. I'm going to tell you what. You can. If you'll find a place, seek the Lord. He'll give you that desire, that longing,
Amen.
That hunger, that thirst for Him. In verse number 5, and I'm done. It's in verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David never lost his hope. Don't forget when you're in the wilderness, there's hope. And that which is seen is not hope. If you hope for what you see, why do you hope for? Hope for that which is not seen. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
I can't see what God's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what He's going to do this week on the marathon. I don't know what He's going to do with this ministry. He's letting me spend 20 years plus of my life here. And I know, as well as I know I'm living, the preaching that's been done here, not only by me, but by others, has not been done in vain. And I've still got hope. I've still got hope. But God has got better days down the road, buddy. Don't forget to continue to hope. Hope in future satisfaction. And that follows God in hope will come future mercies.
Amen.
You got a thirst for God tonight?
Yeah.
Dry, your life dry. Your Christian experience kind of dried up like the brook. Somebody said, well, I've dried up and the brook's dried up. Well, why don't you run on down to Zarephath? Let that widow woman take care of you. God's always got somebody prepared or something prepared to take care of you. I don't care how hard it may seem, God will take care of you. If we stay right, God will take care of us. Let's stand together. I've done my best.